throat sounds a little off this morning, and I would like to impress you and tell you I've been of extensive prayer this morning, but that's not the case. I was in Tuscaloosa, Alabama yesterday cheering on my Alabama Crimson Tide. Now, some of you, don't cut me off. Don't say that preacher's not of God because he's an Alabama fan. But I was careful yesterday as I cheered on my team to victory because I knew I had a word to bring this morning to the people of God. I want to honor my man of God this morning, Pastor Jason Scales. I want to honor the First Lady of this house, Sister Barbara Scales. I was a broken man. I was lost and I was searching for some answers. And I typed in the word believer and faith. And there was a church ministry pulled up, and the name was Believers Faith Fellowship. And I told my wife, we're going to visit that church. Most of them don't look like me. I'm sure they probably don't talk like me. They may not even believe like me. But we're going to go. I visited that church, and we've never visited another church since. And that was a year and a half ago. And I'm going to tell you something. My family is the best it's ever been. God's doing something. I have the distinct honor this morning to continue the series that Pastor Jason has been preaching on, The Power of RE. Now, it makes me a little nervous because he wants me to continue in his footsteps this morning. No pressure, right? But I appreciate his confidence and trust in me, and I honor the shepherd of this house. I'm not going to keep you long. But this morning, I want to preach on revival. Pastor has taught us in this series this month that the word RE means again, God. And when we're talking about revival today, we're going to break that apart, again, God, and then the word vive, the root word there, means to live. And through all of that, we get the word revival, and it means to bring back to life. I've got a question for you this morning. How are you feeling? How are you really feeling this morning? Is there an emptiness inside? Do you have joy this morning? Are you operating in that peace that passes all understanding? Or is there something lacking this morning? The Bible tells us in John 10:10 that the thief has an assignment. And that assignment is to steal, to kill, and to rob you of your joy. But the good scripture tells us that Jesus has come to give us life, not only just to have life, but to be full. If you're sitting at a coffee table speaking with someone that you really care about, and they ask you to get beyond the surface of things, and they ask you, how are you really doing? That's the question I want to impose this morning. How are you really doing? Are you empty or are you full? My parents, I love them. They're just like me in some ways. I'm stuck and stubborn in my ways about a few things. They're the type of individuals that there's a certain gas station that they like to use to get gas. A certain brand, a certain name on that gas station. They can be running on empty and pass a gas station that they don't normally use, and just because they don't prefer it, they'll pass it up. Well, this morning, I know a lot of you are used to Pastor Jason, and you've come to a filling station this morning. I don't look like Pastor Jason this morning, but we are the same in the Lord, and I hope you just open up your spirit this morning. If you do, I promise you, God's going to fill you up. When I think of revival, I'm reminded of my great-grandfather. He was an alcoholic. Didn't have a lot of friends. He was bitter. He wasn't pleasant to be around. He was the type of individual that would sell the family milk cow just to get some money to go get some alcohol and get drunk. One night in church, they began to sing Amazing Grace. And he had been invited by his family, and he decided to go. He's like, I just want them to get off my back and stop bugging me about going to church, so I'm going to go one night. My great-grandfather goes to church and he hears Amazing Grace and something begins to happen. He thought, man, I've mistreated my family all of my life. I've been a bad man. I haven't been kind. I haven't been loving. I've neglected my family and I've neglected myself. And he began to hear about the Amazing Grace and the song talking about Jesus. And he went down to the altar and gave his life to Jesus. Well, the next Sunday, someone requested, sing Amazing Grace. And when they began to sing Amazing Grace, something began to happen to my great-grandfather. He began to think about all the goodness of God. And he began to get up and shout. Well, in this church, you didn't do that. Now, when I say shout, I know some of you mean shout in a different way than what I mean shout. So when I say shout, he hollered to the top of his lungs, Jesus, thank you for saving me. And you know what happened? They escorted him out of the church. They couldn't handle all that shouting. They kicked him out of the church and they told him, don't you come back. Well, 2 weeks went by and there was news that there was a revival taking place at a church down the road. And my great-grandfather happened to hear that revival was taking place at this church. He was a new believer, and he just wanted all of God that he could get, and he just wanted to be around God's people. And news got brought to the pastor of this other church that my grandfather was going to be coming to attend, and he said, there's no way I'm letting that man in. He's not going to disrupt my church. Well, news traveled. See, my great-grandfather used to work on the railroad, and he had some friends that decided they heard news that my great-grandfather wasn't going to be allowed to go to church and attend that revival. And so they decided to come up out of the valley and meet with this pastor. And they went up to the church and they told the pastor, I'm going to tell you something, minister. If you don't let so-and-so in the church, we're going to burn the church down. And the reason we're going to burn the church down is because we remember when he used to hit his hand with a hammer, hitting those nails in the wood, he would cuss. But now when he hits his hands with a hammer, he says, Jesus. We remember how he used to cuss everybody out, talk to them like they were a dog. We don't know what's taking place, but something's different about this man. He's kind and he's loving and he's friendly now. And they said, sir, we don't know what you have, but we know what this man has. So they told that pastor, you better let him in or we're going to burn the church down. Well, my great-grandfather comes walking up on a Friday night to revival. And the pastor said, come on in, sir. And guess what happened? He sits down on the front row, and about a few minutes later, somebody requested, sing Amazing Grace. He made it through the first verse. And he made it through the second verse. But when they begin to sing, when we've been there, 10,000 years, he began to think what life was going to be like with Jesus in eternity. And he began to shake in his leg a little bit. Then he began to shake a little bit in his head. And they began to keep on singing about Jesus. And sooner or later, this old man stood up on his feet and he began to jump up and he began to shout, Jesus, oh, how I love you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for redeeming me. Thank you for making me a new man. And you know what? He shouted all through the song and the next song. Everybody just stood there and looked at him. Why, he shouted the whole way. Because his friends were on the back row. And every time that pastor would get ready to do something, all he had to do was look to the back. Because the men were ready to react. Because they knew what that man on the front row had was real. I want to talk to somebody this morning. You may have come in empty, but if you open up your heart and make yourself available, say, God, fill me up. God, do it again. Bring revival to my life. Somebody around you may be a little uncomfortable. Just tell them, it's okay. I'm doing it for Jesus. My praise may not look like yours. The way I act may not look like yours. But you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what God's brought me out of.
I was lost and undone without God or His Son. But one night I answered a call and said, Jesus, I don't understand, but I want to be born again. I haven't been perfect. I've made mistakes. Wanted to spank my kids this morning. But through it all, the goodness of God has carried me from glory to glory. Now I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and fire baptized. Somebody praise Him in this house. Praise Him if you're unashamed of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm not talking about just getting emotional, but from the depth within, I will bless the Lord at all times, and His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will make known the goodness of my God to all generations.
Asking a question this morning. Can my dreams live again? Can my love live again? Can forgiveness live again? Can freedom live again in my life? I know what it's like to carry grudges, be resentful, be bitter. Oh, but it's so much more, there's so much more beauty when you're free. When you walk in forgiveness, the prophet looked through a valley and he saw nothing but dry bones. And the question is asked, can these bones live? And you know what God told him to do? He told him to speak in spite of what he saw. He told him to open up his mouth and prophesy to a dead situation. Some of you, you're running on empty this morning. But God wants to fill you up. I want you to look at your situation and declare to your situation, I may be dry right now, but I'm not going to stay dry. There's a danger. Some people, they're just existing and not really living. And there's a danger in just existing. When you're just existing, you'll dry up. And when it's dry, there's no joy. If you're not careful, in the valley of dry bones, what happens? There's death. And in the danger of death, when things are dead, there's no fruit. How long has it been since you've loved on your brother or sister? How long has it been since you've been able to say truly, the joy of the Lord is your strength? And if you're not careful, it's a dangerous place. It's unsafe. You ever been in those situations? Well, I want to do the right thing, but I don't know if I have the power and the ability to do it. See, some people, they're simply a thermometer, and they blend in with the temperature. But God has created you to be a thermostat, and He's created you to set the atmosphere. Sometimes the reason why we're only existing and not really living is because we're operating out of our condition. And not our position. We operate based off how we feel. Let me tell you something. God's not wanting you to be in denial on how you feel. If you're sick, you're sick. That's a fact. No denial in it. But God wants you to operate according to His word and the truth in that. The Bible says in John 8, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. There's a lot of people that know that Jesus died on a cross, but until they know Him as their Lord and Savior, they don't get the benefits of eternal life. So here we find ourselves. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 says that God has granted us the opportunity to sit together in heavenly places with Jesus. That's your position. You're a joint heir with Christ. You may have conditions that come up in your life. But the truth of it is, when you operate out of your position, you're able to operate in authority. And no matter what comes your way, it's the authority of the believer operating in Jesus. When something comes against you, you're able to say, no weapon, because of your position. Your condition may be hurt. Your condition may be pain. A lot of people wear a lot of gold. But in reality, unless you're a specialist, you don't see all the impurities inside that gold. Because the lower the carat weight, you find more of the impurity. And in reality, for a lot of people, they've got a lot of things on the inside. And they don't want everybody to know what they're going through. Let me tell you one of the greatest blessings that happened to me when I started attending Believers Faith Fellowship. I started being able to be myself. I got hooked up with people that told me their marriage is not all good either. I got around people that said they're ready to pull their hair out with their kids as well. I started hanging around some people that said, you know what, I messed up last week too. And all of a sudden I was introduced to a family. We're going through some same stuff, but we still love God. And the beauty is we can come in here on Sunday and give it to God. Oh, I love this church. I love this church. I'm sorry, I hadn't even got to my notes, okay? Give me 10 minutes, please. I want to pose a couple of thoughts. How do you experience revival in your life? Here's a thought. I want you to create a personal altar. I want you to, if you can, draw an imaginary circle for me, okay? Where you're sitting, just draw an imaginary circle right around yourself. Now, when you get home today, this is not for everybody, but it's for somebody. When you get home after great fellowship and great food today here at Believers Faith Fellowship, after you get home today, I want you to once again draw that circle and get down on your knees and say, God, let revival start within this circle. I don't want you to rely on anybody else to get a prayer through to God this morning. I want you to stand in faith with the scripture in Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. The writer says, search me, O God. Know my thoughts, Lord. Try me. And if there be any wicked thing in my life, lead me in the way that is everlasting. Somebody say, search me, O God. Teach me, O God. Know me, God. That's a good idea. My head's about to bang that thing. In Isaiah chapter 6, the prophet has just experienced and encountered the presence of God. And the Bible goes on to say, Isaiah said, woe is me, for I am a man undone and with unclean lips. You know why a lot of people don't want to pursue God? Because when you're in the presence of God, the real you will be exposed. And when you're in the presence of God, the things about you that need to change will be revealed. When Isaiah was in the presence, there was so much holiness in the atmosphere that he couldn't stand. He couldn't even think right. All he could focus on was the areas about him that needed to change. But you know what? He showed humility. There's a key for you. When you humble yourself, therefore, under God, his hand said, the word says, he will lift you up. Isaiah humbled himself. He saw his sin. He recognized his wrongdoing. He recognized his evil ways. And the Bible says that God sent an angel that had a coal in his hand, and he pierced the lips of Isaiah. And then the scripture goes on to say, God said, whom shall I send? Who will go for me? Here's the beauty: when you get alone before God, when you repent of yourself and you ask God to forgive you and cleanse you and make you whole again, God's after that waiting for you to ask him, son, what do you want me to do for you? Daughter, what do you want me to do for you? The question was asked after his sin had been revealed, who's going to go do a work for me? Then the prophet stood up and said, here I am, send me. In one moment he was repenting of his sin, and in the next minute God had him on assignment. There's a lot of people
that's offering up a lot of excuses. That's my second point. You need to eliminate the excuses. Abraham was too old, but he still had a promise, and he still believed God. Rahab was a prostitute, but when it was all said and done, God used her as a mouthpiece to keep the people of God safe. Joseph was betrayed by his brothers, falsely accused of sexual misconduct, thrown into a prison. But when it was all said and done, that excuse, which was meant to be a distraction to pull him away from God, turned into a direction that drawed him closer to God. And in the end, he was second in charge over all the land. Mary, she worried about everything, but in the end, she wanted to please Jesus. There's a scripture, and let me sum it up for you. Lazarus was in a tomb, already dead. The situation looked hopeless. He's already done. Dead. What else can be done? His sisters were worried. They were complaining. But sometimes you just got to give Jesus a little time. There are times you may not want it when God says, I want to give it. But in the end, Lazarus was in a tomb, wrapped up in grave clothes. But the end of the story, it doesn't leave us there. It lets us know that Lazarus had an excuse why he could no longer be used by God. But how many knows that Jesus came walking by the tomb? I want to encourage somebody. Jesus is walking by in this room. Jesus is here this morning. You may be in a situation wrapped up in your grave clothes, and it may look impossible. Nobody can bail you out of your situation, but all you need is a word from Jesus. Lazarus heard the words from the master. Lazarus, come forth. And I want to prophesy as a man of God and speak directly into somebody's situation. And I want to declare to that dream to come forth, that hope to come forth, that burning desire to see God move in your family to come forth in the name of Jesus. Let me close it off with this. Excuse me, brothers, for jumping a few slides there. In the book of Acts, chapter 1, I got a word for you this morning. There was over 500 people. Jesus is already gone. He's ascended up to his Father, and I'm closing. Over 500 people started out on a journey praying, gathering together, loving on the Lord, praying, coming together in unity. By the time we make it to Acts chapter 1, there's only 120 people left, man of God. That's just a little over 20% left that could continue praying and seeking God and being devoted. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, it says they gathered together in unity and in supplication. They were praying. The disciples, they were gathered together in an upper room along with the mother of Jesus, Mary. And they were praying and seeking God. The seed of opportunity can only be found in the soil of commitment. I want to encourage somebody this morning. You got to want it bad enough. You got to make up in your mind, no matter what the odds are and how bad it's stacked against you, you're going to go forward in Jesus' name. And the Bible says they prayed and they sought God. They were in the upper room, and they were seeking the Lord, and all of a sudden in Acts chapter 2, something crazy took place. And the Bible says, and suddenly there was a sound of a rushing mighty wind. I'm going to tell somebody, if you seek him long enough, you'll start hearing some things. If you pray long enough, if you stay focused long enough, something's going to start shaking. Something's got to give. And the Bible says that the Holy Ghost descended upon them. The Holy Ghost fell. And they began to all speak in tongues. Now, don't get nervous when I mention that word this morning.
Because for some of you, all you might be able to do is say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. For some of you, you might be able to pray 100 scriptures. For some of you, I want to encourage you, it might take it to machine gun the devil in tongues. I don't care how it looks like, but just make yourself available to God. And the Bible says they were in that upper room. I'm talking about revival, the power for things to live again. Most people said, well, your Savior, he's already dead. But there were still some people that believed. Is there anybody this morning that still believes? You believe that there was a Savior, that he came and he died for you. But the good news is he rose from the grave. Now he sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you. And the Bible says the Holy Ghost fell. They began to all speak in tongues. It looked a little different, probably felt a little different. And the Bible says they walked out of the upper room. They walked out of the upper room and the crowd began to look. What's wrong with those people? These people look like they're drunk. Look it up. It's in your Bible. I don't make a good drunk, man. I've never been drunk, okay? I've been drunk on something else. I'm talking about a new wine. But they were walking around and he said, don't you worry, these are not drunk as ye suppose. When you get a hold of something in God, the Bible says you are a peculiar people. You will look a little different. When I'm full and I'm running over, sooner or later it's just flowing off of me. So I don't talk like some other people talk. I may not walk like some other people walk and act like some people walk and act. But Peter said, don't be alarmed. This is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men dream dreams. I'm ready for a fresh outpouring. It may not look like what you're accustomed to. But God's not looking for you to be capable and able. He just wants you to be available. Somebody say, Lord, I'm available. Come on, stand to your feet this morning. Say, Lord, I'm available. Come on, one more time. Lord, I'm available. Somebody needs a revival this morning. And I want to encourage you as they play right quick. And saints of God, I've got to close. But will you bow your heads this morning? I want to charge somebody this morning that you can live again. Lazarus did. Look at his situation. Peter denied Christ. I don't know the man. And just a few days later, he's preaching the gospel and 3,000 people get saved. What's your excuse this morning? I want to encourage you to eliminate the excuses. Create an altar. Say, God, it starts with me. And I want to leave you with this fault. As we bow our heads, Lord, send revival. Revive us again. Revive us again. Revive us again, oh God. Our hopes, bring it to life again. Our dreams, bring it to life again. In Jesus' name. I want you to look at me. Several years ago, people of God, I didn't think someone would ever love me again. Excuse me. I didn't think I would ever have a family again. I didn't want to live. But I found hope. I had a praying father and a praying mother. Some of you don't have that. But you know what? I'll stand in their place this morning. And I'm going to pray for you to live again. To believe again, to hope again. God, send revival. Now I have me a 2-year-old son. I got him decked out in Bama gear today. Yeah, I did it on purpose. I got some of y'all, we have some good fun. But several years ago, I didn't know if I'd be a father again. But I'm proof you can experience revival. You can experience revival. I love you as my family. And look at somebody and tell them, you can live again. Somebody on the other side, tell them, you can live again. God bless you this morning.
Oh, you can do better than that. Come on, give God a hand clap of praise. Come on, come on, come on. You got a second. You got a second. We still got time. Come on, give God a hand clap of praise. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The man of God, amen, was used by God. Amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. There are several things that we want to do. Amen. And the deacons and the brothers are coming. We're going to take up our offering. You're going to stay seated, and they're going to come down your aisles and take up our tithing and our offering. Did not the man bring a word of God? Hallelujah. Somebody say revival time. Hallelujah. And it starts on the inside. Amen. Amen. As the brothers and deacons are coming to take up our tithes and our offering, at this time they are passing the baskets, there are several announcements that I want to make sure that you are well aware of. First of all, let's make this announcement. Look around the room, if you would. Here's the announcement I want to make when you look around the room, that God is blessing Believers Faith Fellowship. Come on. Come on. God is blessing Believers Faith Fellowship. And so when I look around the room, here's what I see. I see a people who are ready, amen, to be of help to a great ministry. And here's what we want you to do today as they are taking up the offering. I want to talk to you, reiterate to you what our First Lady made mention of today, that we have a plethora of ministries here at Believers Faith Fellowship. And it does absolute no good to have a ministry and not have people in the ministry. Am I talking right? Amen. So what does that mean? I want you to pull on your gifts and your talents, because there are some things that you are well able to do that the ministry could benefit just by you being a part of that ministry. So when you leave today, there are several things. One, we have showcased those lovely individuals via the LCD projector. But then also in the hallways when you leave, there are different booths that are set up. It is no pressure. Here's what we want. We want your help. Is that simple enough? We want your help. There is something for all of us to do at Believers Faith Fellowship. You may say, well, Elder Holman, I can't do this. I can't do that. But I guarantee you there is something somewhere deep down on the inside of you that would be a benefit to this great ministry. So with that in mind, as we get ready to make our way, we're going to be there. First of all, I want you to stop by those ministries and become a part of those. But then today is our church picnic. Come on, let's give it up. Let's give it up. Our church picnic. So here's what we have done this year. First of all, let me dare not dismiss or say anything without speaking on behalf of Miss Jamie Dickerson and our children's ministry. There are 70 to 80 children down in the gym right now. Y'all ought to be jumping, shouting, praising God that we have great people who are willing to watch our children while we're in service. Amen. Amen. It is a task to orchestrate a ministry, particularly when you're off campus, and you have to come to another location, because you do know that everything that is brought here has to be taken back to the church. Can I get an amen? It's quiet. Can I get an amen? Amen. So when we dismiss today, here's what we've done. We have four different food booths, really five booths outside, and they're all under the tent. So when you leave here, first of all, please get your children. Then we can let you get some food, all right? All right, so we have a nacho chili cheese station that you can go there. Then we have a hot dog and chip station that you can make your way there. Then there is a hamburger and chip station. You can make your way there. And then there's a fish station that you can make your way there. And then, good gracious to thee, there's a sweet, sweet, sweet table that will really bless your soul. I have tasted about four items already, and it's all right. The saints need to know that it's all right to eat, so I test it for y'all, all right? All right, so we have a sweet table out there as well. And then there are drinks. There's popsicles. So there's a lot of food that is out there, and everything is in a tray. Everything is in a tray. You just walk and eat. Here's what we ask. Parents, let's make sure that our children throw away their trash in the appropriate places. This school allows us to use the school on loan. So the way that we walked into the school is the way that we have to walk out of the school. So that it means trash free inside and out. That means we've got to have a whole lot of help, a lot of supervision. But we can most definitely do that. Amen. And then guess what? After you have eaten, I just need you to work it off. And here's how you do that. You put your hands to the plow. Because there's a table that has to be broke down. There's got to be put back on a trailer. There's got to be taken back to Believers Faith Fellowship. Can I get an amen? It's all right to work the fish off and the burgers. Amen. Amen. Once again, let's give it up for the man of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let us stand. Amen. Let us stand to our feet. Amen. Because we are about to enjoy our time. Parents, we have inflatables outside. Yes, it's still raining, but you know what? Kids love to play in the rain. And if they don't love to play in the rain, maybe today's the perfect day to teach them how to play in it. Because guess what? Kids don't know how to play anymore. They're too caught up on all the technology. Put the technology away and let them get hit on the head with a raindrop. Appreciate humble beginnings. I know I'm talking right. Get on out there and it rain. You'll be all right. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. We are leaving here. And we want you to know, to all of you that have been working behind the scenes, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. Our leader is a great man. And he has taught us well. And as I said this morning, we want to make sure that all that we do it in a spirit of excellence. In a spirit of excellence. If you want to help and you don't know what to do, please see me. Trust me, I can find you something to do. Amen. Amen. Lord, bless the food that we're about to receive as we go out and as we fellowship. God, we thank you for your word that has gone forth. Now, God, bless our leader as he is away. Give him safe journey, travel, mercy. In Christ's name, we do pray. Amen. If you would